give us this day our daily bread is actually the fourth petition of the seven that are mentioned in the Lord's Prayer. The first three, we have to remember, the petitions are in regards to God. They address God. The second, the four are the prayers that relate to our needs and our concerns, physically and spiritually. Old President Woodrow Wilson once said this: in the Lord's Prayer, the first petition is for daily bread, meaning for our petition. No one can worship God or love his neighbor on an empty stomach. I thought that's a profound saying. We need our daily bread in order to serve God. Did you notice that? Give us this day our daily bread goes before we ask God for forgiveness. Did you notice that? Yes. The next petition is, forgive us our trespasses. So before we can address the spiritual issues of our life, we basically have to have the basics of life, because if we are starving to death, it's very difficult to pray for spiritual things. And I think Jesus was very wise in teaching us this. We need God in all areas of our lives, physical, spiritual, and mental. And this is our daily need that is addressed in this prayer. Give us this day, today, what we need today, our daily bread. So we need to come back to God regularly, Jesus teaches us here, each and every day, and ask God and thank God that we need the bread. We acknowledge that the bread comes from God, ultimately, that we're dependent on Him. Because we can quickly become independent. We can quickly become self-seeking. We can be like this farmer who invited his pastor to come for lunch after church. So after lunch, he showed him his garden. And he had a big garden. He was very proud of his garden. And the pastor just marveled, and he said, "My goodness, look at this. Look at these turnips, and look at, you know, God has really blessed you. God has really let this grow. And God has, look at this corn. Look at these watermelons. Oh, God has been really good here and blessed." And finally, the farmer said, "Now, wait a minute, Reverend. You know, you talk like I didn't have anything to do with it. It was me. I did this." But what are we without God? Jesus reiterates this daily dependency on God when he exhorts us and says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And this is an art, if you will. I want to call it an art. Some kind of a talent or a skill of faith that we need to develop, that we don't worry about tomorrow. And it's very hard. And I have found that many Christians can get very riled up and wound up about terrible times that are coming, and they start hoarding things, and they put their closets full of dried food that's supposed to last for 10 or 20 years. And I wonder why. Why are Christians doing that? I believe If someone stacks up their closets with food that is supposed to last for 7 or 10 years, it's a sign of unbelief. That's my version of it. Because Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Tomorrow there will be another day, there will be another opportunity to pray and to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. This prayer is a prayer for the necessities of life on this side of eternity. What does the word bread include? Give us this day. It means everything necessary to sustain life. It includes the fact that we need to pay our bills. Give me this day enough money that I can pay the bills, that my electricity doesn't get cut off, or the water, or the gas. Give me this day a warm house. I guess that would be equally to the daily bread, especially in this area of the world. So we are dependent on him one day as much as another. It is evidently the intention of our Savior that this prayer should be offered every day. Now, do we pray it every day? I say, well, if we don't pray, give us this day our daily bread, we should at least thank God every day for the daily bread that he provides anyway. So this prayer is actually also a strong command that we need to use in our families to learn to depend on God for our sustenance. It's that we rely on God, because if we don't learn to rely on God for our daily needs, do you think that we have then have enough faith to trust him for all eternity, for our spiritual soul and spiritual being? Bread is a powerful symbol of God's gracious provision. Obviously, Jesus was not telling his disciples to pray for bread only. But bread was a staple in the diet of the Jews that had been for so many years. It was basically considered the basis of life. Life in the wilderness was hard for Israel. And the people began to complain when they thought of the flesh pots in Egypt. They wanted meat. So God gave them both, meat and bread. Bread and provision provides comfort and confidence. It's interesting to me that in the language of the Western culture, we often say that either the husband or the wife, whoever earns more, is the breadwinner or the provider for the family. Husbands are to provide for their family. That's the call. To provide for the family. To bring home the bacon, if you will. Now, that's not related to bread. But anyway, that's our slang that we often use. Bread remains, at least in our language, as a powerful symbol of the basic provisions for our needs. I read a story that really touched my heart this week. After the Korean War ended, South Korea was left with a large number of children that had been orphaned. They had no place to go. The same affects We will see in all the wars, if you read a history about wars, Vietnam or Bosnia or other areas where war has happened, a lot of children become orphaned. In the case of Korea, relief agencies came in to deal with all the problems that arose in connection with having so many orphaned children. One of the people involved in this relief effort told about a problem they encountered with the children who were in the orphanages. Even though the children had 3 meals a day provided for them, they were restless and anxious at night and had difficulty sleeping. So they talked to the children. They soon discovered that the children had great anxiety about whether they would have food the next day. To help resolve this problem, the relief workers in one particular orphanage decided that each night, when the children were put to bed, the nurses there would place a single piece of bread in each child's hand. The bread wasn't intended to be eaten. It was simply intended to be held by the children as they went to sleep that night. It was a security blanket for them, reminding them that there would be provision in their daily life the next day. And I think when Jesus talks about, give us this day our daily bread, it is almost like a security blanket that you, when you go to bed at night, that you don't worry about tomorrow, whether you will have enough to eat or enough provision, that you hold on to this bread of life, this faith in Jesus, that you know, I will have to eat tomorrow. God will provide. And so they tested this, and sure enough, the children were calmed of their anxieties and helped them. It helped them to sleep. So it is a comfort that Jesus is praying here that we need to pray about. Lord, help me not to worry. Help me not to worry about whether I will have enough for retirement or whether I will have enough to live tomorrow or whatever. Now, we mess up and we really goof off or are careless financially, then we will obviously have reason to worry. But I think that this prayer teaches us to be in a spirit of humble dependence on God. And I still have a lot to learn about this. It teaches us to come to God in a spirit of humble dependence, asking Him to provide what we need and to sustain us from day to day. It also means that He helps us find the bread. And there is an aspect to the daily bread that we need to go and find it. We need to work for it. So we have the tendency to pray this in general. We pray in general, Lord, bless this meal that you have provided. Let it be to the nourishment of our bodies. Sometimes, you know, you have dessert, you have ice cream, and you have all this food that you're not supposed to eat. And then you pray, Lord, let it be to what? To the nourishment, to the adding to the calories of our bodies? I don't know. It's sometimes hard to pray there. But it is the fact that we are in plenty. And we have plenty. I want to touch on 4 things that we need on a daily basis that is represented by the image of bread. When Jesus was fasting and praying for 40 days in the desert, he was tempted by Satan to speak to the rocks that they would become bread. He was extremely hungry, and the temptation was, and he could have done it, could have spoken to the rocks, they would have turned to bread, and he could have eaten. But he resisted the temptation, and he quoted this scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Now, remember, when you are tempted in any area or even tempted to overeat, yes, even that, we can ask God to help us resist temptation. Sometimes I say to Anne, you know, I know I bought more than what you sent me to the store for, but you should have seen what all I said no to, what I didn't buy. I mean, I wanted this, I wanted that. I said, no, 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 no. It's almost like these items are just shouting at you, buy me, buy me. It's almost like that, right? Jesus resisted temptation. And oftentimes it's difficult. And I have learned, have you noticed? Don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry, right? Eat first. Because when you're hungry, you want to buy the whole store. Everything looks so delicious. Bread represents the necessities of life. And therefore, our prayer for daily bread does not mean you sit on the couch and wait and say, Lord, give me, give me, give me. It's not like you just, like the birds in a nest, and just open your beak and just give me, give me, give me. The Lord says, get off your couch and go to work. Even the Israelites in the Old Testament, they had to go out to the desert to find the bread. Even the manna, this heavenly bread that was given to them free, God provided, but they had to go out and gather it. God didn't put it on their plates. God is not our servant. He is our provider. And that's the difference. Proverbs 14, verse 23, hard work always pays off. Mere talk puts no bread on the table, except for politicians, I guess. Those that make a living on talking. Well, they would point to me about it too, I guess. But I hope I'm doing more than talking. Bread represents the word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and I didn't read it before, man does not live on bread alone, but of every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So it is the word of God that actually sustains us. It's not just the bread, the natural bread. So bread is a symbol for the Bible, which is spiritual food. And if we have our priorities right, and as we learn this month, this prayer, seek first the kingdom of God and all other things shall be added to you, it actually means that our priorities are in such a way that we look at God's word as the real bread of life, and then he provides the natural bread as well. Bread represents God's family and fellowship. You'll say, well, how is that possible? How can bread represent the fellowship of a church? Listen to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. Is the bread which we break not a sharing in the body of Christ? Ah. When we take communion, and on Good Friday we will do that again, when we break the bread, we share in the body of Christ. Ultimately, when you just summarize all of this, from the Old Testament and what Jesus came to do, Jesus is the real bread of life. And bread represents that we share our faith in Jesus Christ, and he binds us together by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of unity, and he sustains us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. This is why I find it so beautiful when churches do potlucks. We say, well, you know, that's the natural. But have you noticed that when everybody brings some food, how far it goes and how many can eat? It's amazing. It's like God multiplies it. That's just one example. Bread represents our fellowship in the church as a body of Christ and points us to Christ every time. Bread represents salvation. And I want to Just to do a few more thoughts on this communion issue. Without the bread of life, we would not enjoy the natural bread. If we pray, give us this day our daily bread, when we eat bread, we need to think of Jesus as our bread. And actually, in John chapter 6, he went so far to say to his hearers, he said, if you don't eat me like bread, you have no part in me. And they were mad. They were just so disgusted. How can this man give us his body to eat and his blood to drink? And he was referring to his sacrifice on the cross. So this is why he said to the disciples, as they were eating in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Symbolically, they were eating of his body. Then he took the cup, he gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So every time we eat the bread and drink the wine or the juice, it is a reminder of how much God loves us and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us so that we can go to heaven. So give us this day our daily bread includes, let Jesus be my all in all today. And that's where it sums it all up. And as Jesus is my all and all, and he provides for me physically, emotionally, and even relationally, he also provides for me spiritually that I live in this hope. And I don't have to pray in a wrong way. I pray for the whole thing, the spiritual and the natural bread. In conclusion, hasn't God been gracious to us? Some of us, we have freezers, we have fridges full of food, and of course, there's always the restaurants that have a lot of food, especially the buffets, right? And it's so easy to go and just eat till you're so full that you can't have another bite. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it doesn't include that we say, give us our daily steaks. Someone said that once. I thought it was curious. But Jesus wants us not to worry about the future. He wants you and me to have this solid, deep trust in him. Lord, I know. You have brought me this far. Here I am. I'm okay. I'm alive. For 60 years, he has been providing. And I know you will provide tomorrow and the day after and the day after. For encouragement, I would like to read Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I believe that God has, in this scripture, shown us he will not forsake us. He will not leave you. He will not leave you high and dry. And whatever the Lord is whatever you're seeking, maybe you're not seeking the daily bread. Maybe you're saying, well, I am satisfied, but it's this and this that I'm really desperate for. And I prayed for every one of us here this morning. I couldn't do it by name because I wasn't sure who all would be here and who wouldn't. But I prayed for every one of you this morning. Especially for those of us who have a silent desperation. We have prayer requests and burdens on our hearts that are burning. I pray for those. Those are needs that God sees, and the Lord wants us to trust Him for it. May the Lord bless His word this morning. Amen.